Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk on July 10th already. Gosh, the 4th is behind it. Does that mean we're halfway through summer? Not really, but because, you know, of course, this year, who knows? It's cool this morning. It'll be 90 in October. So what a crazy year this has been. Let's see. We've got some fun things to talk about, but I was listening before and I heard Derek's show was promoing for tomorrow, and you've got a good show lined up for tomorrow. What you talking about?
Tomorrow I'm going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the 1971 Major League Baseball All-Star Game at Tiger Stadium in Detroit. And for those of you who don't remember or who didn't watch this game, Reggie Jackson, a baseball Hall of Famer, belted a home run off the light tower in right center field. That's what this game is most remembered for, and there were four Detroit Tigers players in this game, including legendary Hall of Famer Al Kaline, and then Mickey Lolich, the hero of the 1968 World Series, finished off the last two innings of the game.
Yep, that's going to be fun. I'm going to have to listen to that again. I listened last week when he was talking about Mark DeBird Fidrich, and that's so, you know, his talk is not just about modern sports. It's about a lot of sports history and stuff, so it's a cool resource. Thanks, Derek. Let's see. We have got a few gun shows around this week. And I'm just trying to see here. We've got the Cadillac Gun and Knife Show in Cadillac. That's today and tomorrow. That's the only one in Michigan. But we've got the Midwest Air Gun Show. This is one that I actually, I'm not going to get to it this year. It's today only. But it's at in Grove City, Ohio. And it's one of the couple of air show specific or air gun shows specific. There's a Kalamazoo one. There's this one. For those of you, I mean, air guns, and especially lately when ammo has been scarce, and pellet guns are extremely accurate these days and very versatile too. And so a lot of people are getting more into air guns as a way to keep up their skills and practice or introduce young people into firearms at a not too great cost. So might be fun to go to an air gun show. Let's see, the Cleveland Berea Gun Show is on. That's in the Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds in Berea. The Oak Harbor Conservation Club at Oak Harbor, Ohio, which I got to say, I don't know where Oak Harbor is, but it's in Ohio. Let's see. Missouri has the Independence Gun and Knife Show at Cable Dahmer. Gosh, Dahmer, like Jeffrey Dahmer. I would change my name if I was Dahmer Arena. Well, I would be concerned with Jeffrey Dahmer, like what is in the hot dogs and stuff like that. Oh, I crack myself up sometimes. Let's see. And that's in Independence, Mo. Let's see. The RK Springfield Gun Show is at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds. And New York has one today. This is a great title, the Safe Shoot Shooting Sports Complex. What could be better? It's telling everybody exactly what you're supporting in the name of your sports complex, the Safe Shoot Shooting Complex. And that's in Kingston, New York. Numbers are the same. It's just the middle of the month. So we've got, or early in the month, we got 755,802 CPLs that are active and approved this, active right now. I still haven't figured out. I was looking for some documentation why 2 months ago, this was July, June, May numbers still showed 743,000 expired, and then it dropped to 246,000, and now it's working its way back up to 249,000 expired. So I think maybe they cleared the rolls of actual expired people. You know, I mean, they may have had it as combined expired and deceased. And so they said, well, you know, once they're deceased, they're not going to renew it. So they might vote. Okay. Well, probably not, because if they voted and they were deceased, they would probably be Democrats. So they wouldn't have a CPL at that point. So at any rate, probably just cleaning up the voter rolls, huh? That's racist. I'm sorry. Let's see. There's also this Sunday is a handgun bowling pin shoot out at Tri-County Sporting Tri-County Sportsman's League in Saline. That's 8640 Moon Road, and it is fun. I don't know if you've done a bowling pin shoot, but it is a great way to get into kind of a fun group of guys and men and women and kids, you know, young people too. They enjoy it. Matter of fact, I remember there was a guy who was real active in it and still is, and also in IDPA. And his daughter, his name is Earl Austin, and his daughter was just cleaning up in this. I mean, she was like the best pin shooter at the club. So, and she was a high school girl. Now that was 15 years ago. But she's probably still competing, I would bet. Let's see. So the way it is there's I want to say you're about 25 feet away from a structure that has five bowling pins on it. Think of it like a bookcase with no back. Okay. And it's backed up to a sand berm. Okay. And, what happens is, they do a timer, and you'll hear the timer, it'll beep, and, you know, they'll go, okay, shooter ready, and it'll go beep, and you'll start shooting, and it'll count, it's how long does it take you to knock down the five pins. These are actual, real bowling pins on a shelf, like. And I want to say then they average the time of your three best tables, and that determines your highest score. So you get five tables, and it's actually five pins times four tables. It's 20 pins total, and it's each round is like $5, so it's a fun thing. And I gotta say, if you want to come out and participate, there's a fun group of people out there. And if maybe you don't have a handgun, or maybe you don't have, like next week, I think, is the pistol carbine ones. Maybe you don't have a .22 rifle or a pistol caliber carbine, or even a handgun at all, but you've been thinking about it. What a great way to get exposed to it. And there are people there that are more than willing. If you walk up and say, I heard about this on the radio, and I'd like to try it, but I don't have a gun. Can I? Somebody will go, here, use mine, okay? Because that's the way gun people are. There are a lot of, it's not like the media portrays, okay? Well, we've got, let's see, there's some stuff going on in Michigan, some references to Michigan. Actually, State Senator Lana Tice introduces a bill to remove permit requirement for concealed handguns in Michigan. Hooray, hooray, here we are. Somebody is trying to finally do constitutional carry, okay? And they've got a bill that is in committee, okay? Now, the question is, will it come out of committee? But it's in committee. And even if it comes out of committee, will our governor sign it? I'll bet not. Okay, so then you got to go, well, is it veto proof or whatever? It'll be interesting to figure out. But Lana Tice, who is a friend of the station, friend of Theron's program and stuff, she represents Chelsea and Dexter area. She says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, it's as simple as that. Do you mean it or not with the Constitution? And so she was joined by Senator Roger Victory of Hudsonville, Eric Nesbitt of Lawton, John Bumstead of Muskegon, Dale Zorn, who is a good friend of the Second Amendment, out of Adrian, Kevin Daly of Bay City, and they sponsored bills 489 to 492. The four-bill package would allow Michigan residents who are not otherwise banned from carrying firearms to carry concealed without a license. Lawmakers maintain the bills will protect the constitutional rights of Michiganders. Okay, I could just hear this right away. By the way, it the application fee is $100. The Michigan is a shall issue state. It's got money, and it costs money to be a concealed carry holder. Not only do you have to spend probably $125 to $150 on a class, but you've got to have a firearm and you've got to pay some money to the state, right? Well, this would eliminate that, and not the cost of the, well, it would eliminate the class. You still have to buy a firearm if you're going to have a firearm or carry a firearm. But you know what's interesting is around the state there's I want to say various sheriffs that are supporting it. Okay, and then there's I'll give you some quotes here from one very close by our station right here that doesn't support it. But there's no evidence that these current laws that are out there are actually keeping us safer. Individuals already undergo a background check when they purchase a firearm, and these bills do not stop that requirement. So you still got to do your 4473, your NICS check, and things like that. But so if you're a prohibited person, you're not going to be able to buy a gun. So at any rate, we've got a call on the phone. Let's take this. Who do we have, Derek?
First, we've got Ed in Ypsilanti.
Hi, Ed from Ypsilanti. How are you?
Hi, Dick. I'm just fine. I was enjoying listening to you. I'm sorry you had to stop to take my call.
I'm sorry. I don't know how long you were on. I'm working with only one computer today, and so I don't have my chat screen up. But Derek gave me the universal signal of a telephone call, which also kind of resembles the Mahalo signal or sign from Hawaii. But okay, I didn't know if he was just greeting me from Hawaii or if I had a call. So okay.
No, and actually, I'm glad you did take the time to finish your thought, because sometimes I feel bad because I call and you drop what you're talking about, take a call, and I didn't mean to have that intention. But you know, as far as the constitutional carry, that should be a ballot initiative. So there's like that pot law. Since there's no chance of it, doesn't go to the governor. It just gets the vote, and it's the law.
That is a good point. That is a good point. And Dana Nessel and everybody will find a way around that somehow, right?
Well, we got to find a way around them. But you know, you were talking about air guns, and I don't know if you've ever talked about historical air guns on your show before. I've read about them in various, I think, American Rifleman and a friend of mine's blog or two. And, you know, there was an air gun on the Lewis and Clark expedition. I'm sure you know, but I'm just
bringing it up. And my mind just went blank. I forgot the name of it. But it was a
very... Is that the Ghirardoni?
I'm sorry?
The Ghirardoni?
That's it. And it had a very interesting air chamber. It was a pre-charged air gun that they would charge up. And it was in the butt stock of the gun. Mm-hmm. And
like
it was a repeater, and it was like
where the tank bottle is in the stock. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like a 50 caliber or 54 caliber. And it was very good for hunting. I mean, you could take down deer with it. It was really cool.
Exactly. I mean, a 50 caliber pellet gun. Yeah. And like you said, take down deer. It's historical. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I just wanted to bring that up in case your listeners weren't aware.
You know, that would be fun to talk. Maybe I'll have to talk. That's a good idea to have a historical air gun discussion, including some of the ones that we grew up with, like the old Benjamins that, I remember, you're supposed to pump it like 5 times, but we would pump it up like 17 times, till you could barely close that pump.
I had a Crossman 760, and we'd pump that. I think we figured out if we pumped it up 60 times, we were putting BBs through a garage door, steel garage door.
Now,
it was a used steel garage door. It was in the backyard. Dad had given it to us for our treehouse. But yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, I like, and people should realize even just a simple pellet gun these days goes through tin cans and stuff. They're outstanding for varmints and if you've got birds that are and things that are bothering your gardens and stuff like that. They're outstanding. So,
and a
well,
silencer,
very good. Thanks, Ed.
It's only
thanks
another
for the call.
$200, and then nobody hears anything.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep. I'll see you later, sir.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. So anyway, I'm talking about, oh, we got another call. Okay. Who we got on the phone now?
Our resident ballistics expert, Tom from Northfield Township.
Tom from Northfield Township. How are you? It's been a while since we talked.
Hi, good morning, Dick. Yeah, it has been, but that's because I couldn't find anything worth testing.
Ah, what do you
now
think we should test?
Now I have finally found some bullets. They're different calibers, but they are new issue stuff, and they are worth testing.
Some of the new self-defense ammo that have like initiators in them and stuff like that, that they all seem to have listened to your testing and they're following suit here.
I think so. Well, I've got one of those that is, but let me start with I got one for 45 cal.
Okay.
You know, because, and I've been looking for 45 cal because the 45 cal did so poor in our testing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for something that is, you know, going to be an outstanding round. Well, I got the new Federal Punch, 230 grain, a bullet, and it's a a nickel plated brass, and all of the punch bullets have got sealed primers on them, so they're that's good.
Yeah, that's good, especially, well, it's good for, I want to say, especially when you're carrying in the summer and you might have your, an inside the waistband and it's humid and you're worried about your primers getting destroyed and stuff like that. It's outstanding. That's good. That's good news.
Yeah. And according, it has the usual specs for a 45 cal, a 230 grain bullet. You know, it fires at 890 feet per second and has 404 foot-pounds of energy. Now, all the four bullets that I have, I expect them to do well on the dirt tissue media test.
Okay.
The bone test that is going to be the, you know, the real
deal. That's the one, that's the deal breaker right there, whether it does well or not on the bone test, so.
Yeah. Now, the second one I have, I've got a 38 special plus B. In Federal Punch.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's brand new out. And that one, let me see what the speed on that is. They have that listed at muzzle velocity, of course.
Right,
at 1,000 feet per second and 266 foot-pounds of energy.
That's pretty good on a 38 special.
Yeah. Oh, and the bullet weight is 120 grain.
Okay. That's I normally shoot about 125 grain in both 357 and 38 special. So that's about right in the right area there. And it's the same thing with a sealed primer. And what's the tip look like on it?
It looks like a regular HST kind of tip. There's no initiator in it. It may be slightly redesigned. You know, the cavity might be a little different than the standard HST, but we'll find out.
Very good. So what are we going to do, some 38 special test and 45? We're going to do a mixed one just of new bullets.
Yeah, because
that's
a good idea. There's not enough out to do a comprehensive test. I think maybe this will be a, like, multi-caliber
update. What a great idea.
Yeah, update.
Well, Tom, That is really good. What else you got?
Okay, now here's the real deal. Okay. I got a 9mm Winchester USA Ready, red box, 124 grain plus P round with the red initiator in there.
Ah, okay.
That's a brand new one.
We will have to try that for sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a nickel plate, not only a nickel plated case, it's a nickel plated bullet also.
Really?
Yes, but the primers are not sealed.
Well, they may have a tight enough fit, or they expect you to go through them fast enough that you're not going to do it. But I got to say, I like the sealed primers, but not all defensive ammo has it. But it's a, I think it's a definite plus. Well, we, okay, and is
yep.
that it?
Well, let me give you the spec on this one.
Okay.
All right, they have a muzzle velocity on this at 1,200 feet per second with 396 foot-pounds of energy.
Yep.
So that is, you know, that's definitely
that's up there in the
protection bracket.
Yeah, it sure is. Sure is. Well, that's great.
Now, the last one I got a Federal. It's a new HST release on a 9mm plus P. It is 124 grain. Now, this bullet we tested on a 9mm tested in a law enforcement package.
Okay.
And those are hard to get. And a lot of times you get them and they're old because these companies get them and they buy them up from police forces and things. But this is a regular HST, you know, plus P round, 124 grain. It is, you know, nickel-plated case, the copper shell, like the HSTs. This one also has seal primers.
Okay.
But unfortunately, it doesn't list any specs on the speed or anything, but I can get that off the web.
Oh, yeah. Plus, you can tell it yourself with your chronographs. So.
Oh, yeah. All of these that I test are going to be chronographed at 3 yards, 9 feet.
Yep.
That's what's comfortable for me to do it at.
Yep. Oh, I like it better than at the muzzle because it's that's more like what speed it's going to be when it hits its intended target. So.
Yes.
Yep. Well, Tom, you have got me excited about this. We are going to have to, I'll see if we can, if I got anything else that we might want to try, but we'll have a multi-gun, multi-caliber test as an update to everybody, okay?
Yes.
Outstanding. Yep. And now that we're COVID-free, we can, or mask-free, we can get together and do this stuff. That's cool.
Yep. You know, and of course, when I get the data and everything, I'll get a hold of you and let you know what's going on.
And I'll take the pictures.
Do you
need any guns? I don't remember. Do you have a nine? You got a 9mm. You got your.
I got the guns for these.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll have to see if there's anything else. Oh, I'd like you to do 44 special. I've got some 44 special Hornady rounds that we could try, and I can lend you a 44 special to do that. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. We've got a future topic for a show now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Well, thanks for calling today, Tom. It's good to hear from you.
Well, I haven't had anything to really call about, and I've enjoyed listening to all the shows. They were interesting, and I just figured I'll just sit back and listen and not butt into them.
Oh, yep. Well, you know what? You're always welcome to call, and because you've got just as much interest in the guns, and there's so many new guns out too. I'm going to talk about one a little later. They just introduced the LCP Max now. Everybody's going for these high capacity 380s and nines now. And it's like a whole new category of guns over the last year, and it's a lot of fun. So, and they just announced, Ruger announced the LCP Max, which is a little bit bigger than the LCP-2, which I have, but it's 10 plus 1. That's pretty formidable for a little tiny pocket pistol.
Well, yes, it is.
Yep, and we know from our testing that those 380 rounds are pretty formidable, too.
Oh, yeah. If I remember right, the best round for the 380 was the Winchester PDX-1. That one worked
the best.
That's
right. Well, everybody, you can actually, if you go to TriggerTalkRadio.com, which is my website, and on the right-hand side of the page, you can scroll down and you'll see it'll say ballistic tests. And it pulls up the articles that we did on the ballistic tests when Tom did the various tests, and then we did 380, we did 9, we did 40, we did 45, we did some 22 and 22 Magnum. They're all there to look at, so it's a good resource. And be sure and look for a new one coming now because Tom's got some new ammo. Okay, thanks, Tom, for calling. Talk to you later. Well, this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600, and we will be back with more info in just a couple of minutes.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And we've been talking about all sorts of fun things, air guns and new ammunition. And that's good to know that Tom's out there working on a new ballistic test that we can... And I'm going to see if I what else I've got to add to it. Wonder if we can find anybody with a 5.7 by 28. I'd like to see how that performs. But let's at any rate, let's say here we also were talking about the legislation that's being proposed here to make Michigan a constitutional carry state, meaning eliminating the CPL license requirements. And of course, they talked about, and this, by the way, is from MCRGO, which is the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. And they have, of course, a pro-gun slant, but they talked to Washtenaw County Sheriff Jerry Clayton. I don't have to tell you which side of the aisle he falls on. And he said, he didn't mince his words. "It seriously concerns me," Sheriff Clayton said in a phone call. "The overproliferation of guns in this country seriously concerns me. I think the proposed legislation is short-sighted. Putting more guns, especially concealed weapons, into the hands of law-abiding citizens does not make it safer." Well, it kind of does, Jerry, but it also doesn't cause blood in the streets or anything that people always talk about. Sheriff Clayton also stressed it would exponentially complicate law enforcement. As an illustration, the sheriff used an example of law enforcement responding to an active shooter situation. He explains that upon arrival, police first assess who is a threat and who is not. The legislation would blur that distinction. Really? What do you do? Do you ask the shooter if he has a CPL or not? Or do you look to see who's shooting people indiscriminately? And, it's just a bogus claim, Sheriff Clayton. I've got to say, it's just like when people say, and these are in some other states where this has happened, and they're going, "Oh, well, it takes away a tool from law enforcement where, if we are questioning people and they are carrying a gun and they don't have a CPL, then they can be arrested and we can confiscate the gun." Okay. Well, I've got to tell you this, and this is kind of goes back to like Giuliani's stop and frisk and stuff in New York. First of all, and by the way, they almost have zilch for concealed carry in New York City, at least, and not all that many in New York State. But the thing is that so let's say the cops approach a group of gangbangers on the corner, okay, or a group of drug gangs, you know, something like that's going on. And do you think that the fact that the person has a CPL versus doesn't have a CPL is the determining factor on if that person should have a firearm? Do you not think that that those people, that drug gang and that group of gangbangers there, probably have some felonies, some past felonies, some things that would keep them from having a gun, but they have it anyway? Because they don't care about the rules. It doesn't stop them. Okay, so a piece of paper does not stop you. Just like Clayton said, "Oh, in an active shooter situation, it'll be hard to tell who is and who isn't." The active shooter doesn't care if he has a CPL or not, but there might be somebody who can stop somebody, and a good guy does occasionally, and more often than not, stop a bad guy with a gun. Okay. Here's an interesting piece of information that that was sent to me by listener Carl, and I think it's pretty good. And it says 10 million police arrests last year. If anyone is uncomfortable with the accuracy of these numbers, you can research it at the Uniform Crime Reporting Program, which is actually www.fbi.gov/services, okay? And then the thing is that according to the FBI Uniform Crime Report and the Washington Post, last year there were 10 million arrests by police, okay? And out of those 10 million arrests, there were 1,004 officer-involved suspect fatalities, okay? Now, that sounds like not that many out of 10 million, but even more, out of the 1,004 involved fatalities, 41 of those suspects were unarmed. Now, unarmed doesn't necessarily mean not dangerous, because actually far more people are killed with fists and feet and blunt objects and things like that. It meant they didn't have a gun or a knife, but it doesn't mean, or a rifle, but it doesn't mean that they were unarmed, okay? Now, out of those 41 officer-involved unarmed suspect fatalities, 19 were white and 9 were black. So 9 were unarmed, theoretically unarmed, no gun or knife. 9 were unarmed black people. But you would think, from what you read in the news and here on CNN and all that kind of stuff, that, oh, everybody's got a license to go out and shoot unarmed black people. There were 9 unarmed blacks that were shot out of 10 million arrests. And by the way, there were more than twice that, 19 white. And I assume the rest were some other, you know, mixed race, or maybe Hispanic, or maybe Asian, or something. But so don't give me this crap about the police are out hunting with a license to shoot unarmed blacks and stuff. Because out of 10 million arrests, 9 were unarmed blacks. Okay? Now, one suspect death is too many. Not, I want to say, sometimes when they're, you know, out of any of these things, by the way, these fatalities that happen during stops and stuff, a lot of them involve people just not obeying the law, not following directions, resisting arrest, things like that, okay? But 41 out of 10 million is a very small percentage. That's 0.00041%. Now, by the way, how many police officers were killed in the line of duty? During that same time, 89 police officers were killed in the line of duty, but you don't hear much about that. By the way, as of when they did this, and I think it's updated now, last weekend in Chicago, it said 102 people at that time, but that was a 48-hour period, and it was a long weekend. 105 people were shot in Chicago, and out of those, 20-some of those people died, okay? So in Chicago last weekend alone, there were more black people killed by black people than there were killed by police all year long. And you're not hearing anything about that. Okay. Lightfoot. Okay. I like Lightweight better, but the mayor, yeah, well, they've got a plan for that. It's all those illegal guns. Well, no, it's not. It's people that are, if they have illegal guns, and they'll say, oh, well, we took 200 legal guns off the street. Yeah, but you put the people back out on the street 3 hours later. You didn't charge them any bail. They didn't spend the night. Whatever happened to, like in Michigan, they have a thing called mandatory. They used to have it. I don't think they do anymore. It was called a mandatory two. And that meant if you had a gun and it was used in the commission of a crime, it was a mandatory two-year sentence. None of this out for good behavior, out because of Of course, we didn't have COVID at that time, but even that's a joke. Okay. We're going to release them all because of COVID. Okay. So at any rate, I thought those were very good statistics. So do the research and look for it yourself. And thank you, listener Carl, for sending that to me. Let's see. Mandatory gun liability insurance. Could Michigan be next? And this is actually happening in the city of San Jose, California. And there's a lot of liberal cities around the country that really think the way to stop gun violence is mandatory gun liability insurance. Okay. That ought to work just as well to stop gun violence as mandatory car insurance stops car accidents, right? No. The only thing it does is pay for something after the fact. Insurance doesn't prevent anything. Okay? Although it may, especially if it's a mandatory policy that costs $500 per gun or something like that, it may mean that it'll drive people from not buying guns, or it might drive them underground. And by the way, how many people do you think out there are driving cars without any car insurance on it? Yeah, I thought so. Okay. This is coming from the liberal city of San Jose, and they said it would, this is what they want to do. And it's the first of its kind in gun control attempts. They want to require every gun owner to purchase liability insurance coverage for all the firearms they own. They did make one exception. The insurance could not legally cover intentional harm caused by the gun owner. So it can't be like the insurance. You know how there are some of the coverages that people buy to protect them in the case of lawsuits and things, in case of a good shoot, a self-defense shoot? Oh, it can't have that. Okay. But every gun you own has to have liability insurance on it. You know that that 100-year-old 22 from great grandpa? Yep, you got to have liability insurance on it. By the way, if it's for every gun you own, that could, you know, they're talking about, oh man, oh, if it could be, if it's, oh, it's only $100 a gun a year, it's no big deal. Well, if you've got 20 guns, that's $2,000. Okay? A year. And that's worse than car insurance. And by the way, far more people are killed with cars than guns. Okay. Then also, it was like this. It requires that gun owners pay an annual fee to the city to reimburse taxpayers for the police and medical services incurred by the city for responding to gun-related injuries and deaths. Oh. Well, I got to tell you, I have a safe full of guns, and none of them have ever killed anybody that I know of. Well, you know, some of them are ex-military and old things. They may have been in a battle, okay? But the fact is that since I've owned them, they have not shot anybody, okay? So that sounds like a poll tax to me. It's a requirement to exercise your constitutional right. You have to pay for a life or a insurance policy and pay to the city to reimburse for police and medical services. Now, tell me exactly how are you collecting that fee from the gangbangers and the drug gangs on the street corners? Let's be real here, okay? This is how they're going to try and get it. They know they can't outright ban things. But they can make it so difficult and onerous for people to own and legally own guns that people just give up. That's what they're trying to do, okay? Because, you know, actually they're really upset right now that so many people have been buying guns. And there's actually a report that came out. It was done by, I love this when it happens, when somebody does a study. The left-leaning newspaper, The Guardian, did a study, okay? And people like CNN and stuff, they said, this guy on, this was just this week, a guy, MSNBC anchor named Chris Hayes, he said that the increased gun sales are driving the spike in violent crime. You really think so? All those 8.7 million new people that just bought guns and 20 million people that bought guns this last year, they're causing the spike in violent crime, the ones that actually went through background checks and bought them from a dealer? Not actually, it wasn't the BLM people or the Antifa people and the rioting and stuff going on? No. It was all those new people that bought the guns. Let's see. And also, here's another interesting little bit of fact. There's a significant gap between when a gun is purchased and when it's used in a crime. And it averages about 8 years. Okay? That means criminals aren't running to their local gun stores to buy a firearm like all the people did in the last year or so. They're getting them via some other method. Yes, stolen, black market, things like that. Further, the gun buying surge and the violence surge may feel like they overlap, but they don't. The buying surge began a month or two earlier amid concerns of the pandemic and economic uncertainty. The violent crime didn't spike until the riots following George Floyd's death. Interesting. Look at the numbers. Look this stuff up, folks, and you'll understand it. That's what I do every week. I try to do this stuff for you. I found here's one that I saw that I like. This is called the meme of the day, and everybody knows what a meme is. It's like a picture that has words on it, and it's this meme says, and it shows a guy in a room with guns around him, and he goes, "I have 10 guns. If the government takes 10 guns from me, how many do I have left?" And the answer is 19. I have 19 guns left because I lied to those commie bastards. And it's signed by the Americans, okay? And after that, I saw a guy wrote below it, "Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend, y'all. Maybe bury some guns. What's the move there? Let's see. Use a food saver, okay? Bag them up like in bags like these." And he actually included links to all this stuff. A food saver that, you know, sucks the vacuum out. But actually, there are bags, and I've got the link here, but there are bags. You ever notice when if you buy an old surplus gun, they're a lot of times wrapped in like an oily paper that's meant to be a rust preventative? Well, there is and this is available on Amazon, okay, VCI rust prevention storage packing bags for weapons, ammos, firearms, guns, rifles, pistols, scopes, metal, and other things. They are 10 inches by 50 inches. That just happens to fit a nice rifle. They are anti-corrosion, moisture-proof, and anti-tarnish. So these are bags that you can put the guns in. It's like when you get, you know, it's like plastic impregnated with this stuff like a desiccant, okay? And so what happens is that you could and then they said then bury them in a waterproof Plano box, and it gives you a link to a Plano I think it said Plano, let me look and see, Plano waterproof case, and it gives you a link to one of those, and that's $77. And actually these bags are pretty reasonable. Five of them are $17.99. So, not saying, I'm just asking for a friend. Oh, that's funny. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, sometimes it's fun to talk about new products. And there's a company called FAB Defense. And they came out with a GL Core M carbine stock that holds an extra magazine. And I look at it and I thought, well, that's actually pretty smart. And I have seen some that have like a regular 30-round mag in it or something. But this actually is, and you could do it on any like M4 carbine, any adjustable stock AR platform. And you just take off the old adjustable stock piece, and this one slides right on it. But it has a backup 10-round mag that's in a little well in the stock, and it doesn't stick out a lot. It doesn't look any different than a normal stock would, but it has an extra stock, extra mag in it as a backup, and it's got a latch that holds it. It is pretty neat, and I want to say it's let's see, F.A.B. Defense GL hyphen Core M. Okay, so look up FAB Defense, and you can find it. And I want to say it's got an MSRP of $122. So, and that includes one of these Ultimag 10-round stocks. You could probably get, or 10-round magazines. You could probably get more of them. But it seems like it's reasonable priced for a backup mag and a good-looking adjustable stock. The next thing I was going to talk about is I'm actually pretty excited. I wish they would stop doing this. Not really. Ruger keeps coming out with all these cool guns. And I've told everybody before, I do have an addiction. I am a Ruger-holic. And I seem to have to get one of everything. Now, that doesn't always mean I keep them, okay? What happens is I may get a LCP-2, and then now they came out with an LCP-Max. So that might just mean I need to, I would recycle my LCP-2 to a family member or something and have to pick up an LCP-Max. Because it actually, I was talking earlier in the show with Tom from Northfield Township about it. They came out with this. It holds 10 plus 1, 11 rounds, all these mini guns. And that's one of the things that has concerned me a little bit about the my LCP-2. I think it holds 6 rounds. And I always carry 6. Maybe it's 6 plus 1. So, and then I have another mag in my other pocket when I'm carrying that gun. It just depends on what gun I'm carrying. As I've said before, I accessorize, okay? People think accessorizing, they think boots or they think shoes and belts and purses and stuff like that. I have to accessorize by which gun I'm going to wear, okay? and what I'm wearing that day. Oh, am I wearing shorts and a t-shirt? Then I might wear my LCP-2. If I've got a cover garment, then I might wear something else, okay? But I always have an extra mag with me. And so right now, when I carry my LCP-2, I have essentially 12 rounds, okay, in 2 mags, 6 plus 1 and another 6, okay, 13 rounds. This, I can go with this new LCP Max, and I can carry 10 plus 1 in the gun, so 11 there, and then a whole nother mag. This is kind of cool, and it's probably reasonably priced, too. I didn't even get to that part, but it's good looking. It's a little bit fatter. They did analysis and showed the two of them together. And actually, the thing is that it's really not any longer than the LCP-2 with the little finger thing on the bottom of the mag. So you're not giving up any concealability, and you're picking up a lot of extra ammo. So that's pretty cool. Well, the music's playing. That's about it for this week. I hope it's going to be cool this week. Get out, go to the range. It's not all hot and muggy and stuff like that. And when we get back next week, we'll talk about more ammo and guns and hopefully not as much politics. But I keep an eye on it, folks, so that you are informed, because some of these things are happening in our state now, and it's important to pay attention to it because, it's kind of like the look at me kind of thing, and you got to watch out what they're doing in the background. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WHAM Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.